Let's ask the Lord for help. Our God and Father, we do thank Thee for this wonderful day that we have had, the nice weather, time together this morning in prayer up on the hill, to put our trust in Thee for the day, the reading meeting, the fellowship throughout the day. And Lord, Thou hast given us time now to come together, to open Thy Word. Lord, we pray that Thou might put the words in my mouth and give me courage to speak to these dear ones tonight. Lord, that our hearts might be stirred up within us and that we might be made willing to serve Thee until that day when Thou wilt call us home to be with Thee for all eternity. And so we just thank Thee for this, and we pray for these things. In Thy name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Well, it seemed a little bit easier this morning to sit over there and read verses such as, "With fear and trembling." And so I won't pretend that I'm not a little bit nervous. But it's quite a privilege to get asked to speak to all of you. And so it was with a willing heart that I accepted the invitation. And a great deal of what's been on my heart for quite a while is the very things that the Lord brought out this morning in the reading meeting. The glory of God being number one. And so I would quote that verse to you because it's a favorite of mine right now. And I think I nearly know it off by heart. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, "Whatsoever ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And to me, that verse encompasses everything that takes up our lives while we're here. Everything. Consider what goes on in a day. We eat, we drink, and whatsoever ye do. And so, we had that privilege this morning to read those chapters and discuss a little bit of His glory. And I spent a great deal of time throughout the day speaking to this one or that one. And the things that they mentioned in conversation were so much in line with what I believe the Lord has given me. So, if you would turn with me to Exodus chapter 34, and I wasn't going to read this verse, but after this morning, I just thought it was so nice because we kind of touched on it a little bit. In verse 35 of Exodus chapter 34, the first part of the verse, "And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone." And you know, if you turn back a chapter to chapter 33 and verse 18, it speaks that he did ask to see the glory of God. And his face shone. And I wonder what our faces are like. I wonder what my face might look to you tonight. Probably pretty red and hot, but consider that Moses entered into that place and they saw his face shining. radiating back that glory. And so, if we could take the time, I'd like to read the next chapter. Exodus 35 and verse 1. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come, and make all that the Lord hath commanded. The tabernacle, his tent, and his coverings, his tashes, and his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets, the ark and the staves thereof with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering, the table and his staves and all his vessels and the showbread, the candlestick also for the light and his furniture and his lamps with the oil for the light, and the incense altar and his staves and the anointing oil and the sweet incense and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with his brazen grate, his staves and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and their sockets, and the hanging for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle and the pins of the court and their cords, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered gold an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands, and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work, of the engraver and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding, to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come onto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And so I consider there are a lot of young people here, and children too. And I can remember sitting in those seats at your age, actually not very long ago, to be honest, and somebody getting up and reading verses very similar to this. And I might have sat there and said, are you kidding? What did you just read? Because there's a lot of things there. There's a lot there. And you know, it's not my desire tonight to have you leave here confused and wondering what these chapters are about. And so I'm not going to tell you what every little thing means. I'm not going to break down every color and every piece. I just want to tell you simple things that the Lord has shown me in these few verses. And when you leave here, I want to be guilty that by the Spirit of God you've been stirred up. And I want to know that by you being stirred up, that your hearts have been made willing to serve Him, to bring glory and honor to Him. You see, I look at this chapter 35, and to me, it shows me exactly what our lives are like right now. I know it happened all that long time ago, and I know it's the children of Israel. But today, for instance, and I hope these gentlemen don't mind, but we spoke of things like our jobs. We spoke of our work. We called it occupations. But we spoke of these things. And in verse 2 here, it says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day. And you know what he commanded those ones to do there for that work? He gave them jobs. And they all had things to do. They all had things to do. But those jobs were all in service to him. And so I know that we don't have the Sabbath day today. We have the Lord's day. And I know it's not at the end, it's the first day. What do we do the other six is what I'm curious to find out. I know what I used to do, and I'd be ashamed to tell you tonight what I did the other 6 days of my life. And then I'd show up to meeting, and I'd sit there, and I'd take the emblems, and I'd thank him for saving me and washing my sins away. And then I'd go home and the NASCAR race would be on, and I'd sit down and I'd watch the NASCAR race for 5 hours. Did I serve him well? No. Was my heart willing? No, I served myself. Served myself. And I know this is recorded, and I know that people may hear it, and I've said it before. There are many that will say, well, I don't want to talk about myself, but I really don't know anybody else to talk about. So if I give an example, it's because I know it, and it's from me. And so 6 days, we have an opportunity to serve Him everywhere we go. And you don't always have to be passing out tracts. You don't always have to be saying that my Savior died for you on the cross too. You could hold the door and smile for somebody. I believe in the name of the Lord, you can give a glass of water and receive a blessing in service for Him. I'm certain there's a verse about that. And so they served Him 6 days of the seven. And we quoted a little hymn today in talking, and it was in the book. It says, "Have I an object, Lord, below?" And so we should be occupied, as we said, with Him. Not with our occupation, not with our job. Our occupation should be Him. Those 6 days. And then on that seventh day, will we not already be prepared to come into His presence and to bow down before Him and worship Him? Do you not believe that to be true? I know in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it speaks that we need to judge ourselves, and I believe that with my whole heart. But I also believe that there might not be as much to judge if we were living for Him 7 days a week. And so He gave them things to do those 6 days. And those 6 days, they did it. And I might just, if I can, for the reason of us all being in different assemblies and where we come from, and knowing that we're part of one body. You know, these people, these children of Israel, for 6 days they worked together. And we're not finished, so I can't go too far ahead, but they worked together. And they accomplished what God gave them to do. It doesn't say here anywhere that they didn't get along. It doesn't say here anywhere that one got in the way of another doing the work. It doesn't say anywhere that something didn't get accomplished. In the end, it says, and they did all the work that God commanded them to do. And so again, I ask you, are your hearts willing? It's interesting enough that in a few chapters before this, maybe just before the two tablets, that God spoke to Moses and He said, you know, they're a stiff-necked people. They're a stiff-necked people. But then He gave them this great work to do. And He says, in verse 7, to go to the congregation And this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart. Well, we know that they didn't all show up. I'm certain that had they all shown up, the Lord probably would have had to work for each and every one of them in that tabernacle. But they didn't all show up. Only the ones that had a willing heart. Verse 10, And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. Every wise heart. I don't want to read too much into that, because I don't think I'd have any wisdom whatsoever if it wasn't given from above. But I think that we have to have a willing heart in order to receive that wisdom. And he tells us that in this chapter. And so, as I said, I sat there a few years ago. My heart wasn't willing. And if somebody got up and read these chapters, I probably would have sat there and everything probably would have went in there and out there. And I might not have got much out of it. But a few months ago, just as an encouraging note, and I don't think it would be wrong of me to say this, but I got an email from Mr. Stephen Stewart in regards to the conference that was coming up in Vestal, New York. And I don't have to relay the whole message, but the important part of the message was that he was so encouraged because the young people, and I don't think he just meant just young people. I think he meant young married couples, such as what we have at this camp. The younger ones he mentioned were, so to speak, taking up the torch. And they were taking on responsibility that was going to allow maybe some of the older ones to enjoy some of the things and to get them to watch and to see what the younger ones were doing. And I was so happy. And you know what chapter I thought of as soon as I read that? This one. Because it reminded me that they must have willing hearts to go and work for him. Because, you know, it wasn't very long before that I had heard from another assembly. And I had talked to a few about their conference. And, you know, they used to have the best meals at these conferences. Homemade, cooked meals. I said, why don't you still do that? They catered it. They had people bring in the food to a school. I said, why don't you have it in your meeting room and have everybody cook the food? And they said, well, most of us are older now and we don't have the energy. And I agree with that. I said, well, what about so-and-so and this one and that one? I said, no, they're not interested. They're not interested. When it comes fellowship meal time, they sit in their seats, and we older ones get up, and we clear the tables, and we serve the food. And so, is that plain enough? Is that clear enough? What is your heart to you tonight? Is it willing to do the work that He's given you to do? Or would you rather ignore it? By ignoring it, you're ignoring Him. And you're not bringing Him the glory that we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Well, This might be a little bit of a touchy topic. In verse 19, it says, "The clothes of service to do service in the holy place. The holy garments for Aaron, the priests, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office." Well, in, I believe it's Exodus chapter 28, it speaks of those garments, that they were for glory and beauty. And you don't have to turn to it, but in, well, we better turn to it because I won't be able to quote it to you. In 1 Kings chapter 10, it's Solomon's glory here and the Queen of Sheba. And in verse 4 of 1 Kings chapter 10, it says, "And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." It is not my design or desire to offend anybody. I know this is camp, so consider that as I speak these things. But the Queen of Sheba saw their apparel. And she was in awe by it. She couldn't say anything else. She saw all those things, all that glory. These garments were made for Aaron and his sons. There was his garment, but then there were the garments of service for the priests. And you know, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, I think it is, it says that he has made us kings and priests. And I consider that when we come into his presence, that we might want to appreciate it. What he has made us. We might want to appreciate his glory. It speaks of reverencing him in Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm not speaking to you tonight about what you're wearing. I want to make that clear. What I'm speaking about is your willing heart. And maybe at your local assembly, or maybe at a conference, what you wear. I'm going to tell you this story about myself, and I hope it gets the point across. You know, I was brought up in a little fishing village. It was called Lorneville. And they were fairly strict there. You might have even considered some of it to be legal. However, I wore a suit and tie from about this high every Lord's Day. And I wasn't allowed to take it off. I wasn't even allowed to go out and ride my bicycle. And I was told it was for the glory of God. And I hope my mother doesn't hear this meeting. But you know, she did tell me that, I'm not sure how the saying is, something, when in Rome, do as the Romans, I believe, is what she had said. And so, as I got older, I went to visit my friends in Dorothy, New Jersey. And they dress different. They don't dress the same as they do in Lorneville. And so all my buddies, on Lord's Day, for the gospel meeting and Sunday school, they wore their jeans. So guess what I did? I wore my jeans. I was in Rome. It was okay. But you know, I was sitting there in those meetings, and I'm going to be really honest with you. I was sitting in those meetings, and I was thinking to myself, I wonder what my mother would think if she saw me now. I wonder what my mother would think if she saw me now.
What do you call that? I call it rebellion.
Turn to Isaiah chapter 63, just for a verse on that. Isaiah 63 and verse 8. And consider yourselves the very same, just for this moment. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. And he bare them, and he carried them all the days of old. Verse 10, but they rebelled. And so he saved me at an early age, and I was taught all those things. I was brought up to dress for the glory of God, to put on garments of service, let me say, or for glory and beauty. But I went and I wore my jeans. And I thought, what would my mom think now? But let me be really honest for a moment. I might have thought that, but really, truly, who was I dishonoring? You might think you're dishonoring your parents, but that's not the true answer. I was dishonoring God. He was looking and he was saying, why? You've been brought up different. You've been taught different. Why? I didn't have a willing heart. I didn't have a willing heart to do those things that I had been taught. I was disobedient and I was rebelling. And I think of how I go to conferences, and I get to quite a few of them now, and I'm thankful for that. And I'll see. And a brother mentioned to me last night to make sure I didn't pick on the girls in this, and so I'm not doing that. But I'll see girls come in to the meeting in their pants. And I tend to usually know which ones these are going to be. And so this brother last night mentioned to me, and I know he'll forgive me for mentioning this, but he said, well, you know, it seems as though we've let the borders go. We've let the borders go. And so they don't know what the borders are. And I'm not going to disagree with our brother in that. I think that we do, as parents, have a huge responsibility in it. Huge. But you young ladies and men, you know better. I know you do. And so if you're doing it, I'm suggesting you're doing it not with a willing heart, but with the spirit of rebellion. And so what I want to present to you tonight is when you do those things, when you do that thing, you affect everybody. It affects the whole congregation. And so, for those of us who have daughters, the concern might be, well, so my daughter saw this one in her pants, and now she wants to wear pants. And so you see the effect. And so I'd like your hearts to be stirred up. Consider the glory of God in these things. And I would like you to be stirred up so much that you would be willing to not only serve Him 7 days a week, but to consider your conduct, to consider the way we dress, the way we talk, the things we do, so that you do not offend any of these little ones. In a few chapters back, as our brother mentioned borders, I want to just address that, and I think it was a good point. Because we do have a responsibility as parents in these things. If you would look with me in Exodus chapter 29 and verse 29. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein and to be consecrated in them. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him. And so let's not broaden the borders so much as let's teach our children what's the proper thing to wear for the glory of God. And I'm not going to tell you what the proper thing is. It's different everywhere. But if you rebel against that different thing everywhere, consider what you're doing. In Proverbs chapter 22, we know this verse very well. Verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is the responsibility that you and I have as parents. I know Brother Stan Allen wouldn't mind me telling you this. He's in the Stellarton, Nova Scotia Assembly, and he's had a great number of children. And he told me one time that bringing up your children for the Lord is a difficult thing. And he said, you only have so many years to train them in the way they should go by God's word, by his teachings. You only have so many years. And after that, there's really not much we can do for them but pray. And so some of you might be past those years now. And how are you going to go? Are you going to be willing-hearted? Or are you going to rebel? Some of us adults, I don't want to think this is all about you young guys and girls sitting here. I believe some of us adults could set a much better example. I'm not particularly speaking to anybody in this room, but maybe it is. We need to set examples for these young people. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. We all have a responsibility. We're in samples to the flock in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 21. And they came every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. I cannot get any more excited every time I read that verse. And there's really not much else to say about it. It's just, it's beautiful to me. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. Are we walking close with him? Are we reading our Bibles? Brother Jonathan asked that question this morning. He said, who ate breakfast? Hands went up. Who read their Bible? Hands went up. I asked my kids, did you read your Bible? Are you asking your kids? I can say that sometimes I get the answer I don't really want. But we have to ask. And we have to ask. And we have to ask. And we're not to give up. He's long-suffering. We should be too. And so they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle for all his service and for the holy garments. Verse 22, and they came both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. And so they all didn't come, but men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. And you know, so some of these things might be a little bit hard, but I believe that they're true. And I believe that the Lord has given me courage to say them. But when you look at everybody in this room, and you look at what is necessary to go on for a camp like this, to have each and every one of us together, to feed us, to put us to bed, all of these things, we're all wise enough to know that it takes work. We're all smart enough to figure out that it takes work. And so I don't want this to all be so bad, so I want to tell you another story. Well, Mrs. Hull, who would say it's Beth, told me that there was a sign-up sheet. And she said that everybody had to pitch in and do some jobs. And I said, oh, sure, that's no problem. There's six in my family. We should be able to do plenty of work. And so I told my dear wife about this sign-up sheet. And I think I might have went for a ride on my motorcycle. I'm not even certain. But I didn't stay to help her through this sign-up sheet. And you know, I came home and I sat down on the couch and my daughter Hannah was there and my son Jonathan was there. And well, I guess Caleb and Isaac were in bed sleeping at this point. But I said, how did you make out with the sign-up sheet? Oh, good. No problem. It's all done. I said, oh, great. What did everybody sign up for? Well, I was pretty well doing everything for the whole week. She signed me up for everything. And so I said, well, that's not good. And I said, I can't do that. And I said, I'm not going to do that. And, well, I'll do that. And so I wasn't so willing. My willingness to do the work kind of went away. She said, I put you down to clean the bathrooms every day. And I said, uh-uh. I said, I don't do bathrooms. My point is that she did sign me up for things, and I am willing to do them. Bathrooms might produce a very bad result. However, we need to be willing. And I look at the women, and I commend you, and I thank you. And I think that us men need to do that much more. You know, when we look down a little further, in verse 25, and all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. Do you really consider and understand how important you really are?
Do you really?
God loves you so much that He's given you so much to do. And they came and they did the work. Everyone that was willing-hearted. And I am so thankful for those that are willing-hearted, for those women that do the work. And there are so many.
Well, verse 27, and the rulers. So even ones that had an authority, had a title, those that were willing-hearted, they came and they offered. Well, in verse 29 it says, "The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded." I mention that verse again because it speaks of all of us. And it speaks of how an assembly cannot function without all of us. I think somebody mentioned today, well, I believe it was mentioned twice, that, well, it's in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe. In verse 16, says, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Every joint supplieth. And so those ones that were willing, both men and women, they came. Those whose hearts made them willing for all manner of work. You know, a few years ago, and it wasn't that many, that I had a few brothers that prayed for me on a regular basis that I might be stirred up, that I might be willing to take my family, my children, and wife out to the weekly meeting. Because as I said, I'd go, went work 6 days, and then I'd show up at meeting. I'd remember the Lord, and I'd go home. And these men, they prayed for me earnestly that I might be stirred up and that I might take that place of responsibility and get out to the weeknight meeting. And so I'm thankful to those men for that, because I wouldn't be here with you tonight without that. I had absolutely no desire, none, to stand before you and tell you these things. I had absolutely no desire to tell somebody on the street that they were on their way to hell if they didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I loved the Lord. I know I did. I loved Him from a very little age. I loved that He saved me. I loved that He died for me and shed His blood to wash my sins away. I loved Him. But like many of us are, I was selfish and I was a taker. And I was not willing to offer anything back but that one thing that He requested. And you know, I thought I was doing a pretty good job. I'd even give out a hymn. I might pray. Once in a while, I even broke the bread and I prayed over the emblems. I probably shouldn't have. And so if you're not stirred up, get stirred up. Verse 31, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. We were talking outside today, a few of us. I can't remember exactly how it went, but we were speaking about knowledge in these things, I think was the word we used. And again, it wasn't that long ago that I had very little knowledge of any of these things. But you know, if you can get stirred up, if you'll let the Lord work in your heart, He'll give you the wisdom and the knowledge that says so right here. And I trust it. I believe it with my whole heart. He'll give you everything you need in this life. Everything until He comes. Verse 35. I just skip back to verse 34 for a minute. I just really like this line, and I'm not 100% sure why I like it, but I enjoy it. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach. I am certain men and women alike in this room have such a heart and love so much. Each and every one, and you children, you young people. And I'm certain there are ones here that are great at teaching and could be. And so I want to encourage you that with a willing heart, He can guide us to those things. And that we can be a big help, whether in Sunday school classes or the older ladies with the younger women. Some of these things, I don't see that much anymore. I know I'm only 44, but I don't see these things that much anymore. Why is that? It's because our hearts aren't willing. It's because we're afraid of offending one another. It's because, well, if I say something to this one, they might leave and not come back. Do you know how many times I've heard that in the last couple of years? I've heard it way too many times. Way too many times. Because I'm upset, I can't quote it. So Hebrews chapter 10. You know this verse, I'm certain. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And it's possible I maybe should have mentioned this verse earlier. But when I think about the older women teaching the younger, and I think about what maybe Mr. Porter has said to me, whether in person or on phone or in message, and other brothers that are older that have, like the brother that spoke to me last night in regards to this clothing comment I had, they provoked me to love and to good works. The kids know my comment on this. I use the word poke instead of provoke. You know, what is wrong with going up to one another, giving a little poke and saying, hey, wake up. Wake up. I'll go back for a moment. If your friend is the one that's wearing pants and she's the only one, set a good example before her. Don't follow it. Don't wish you could. Set a good example. Mark, can I tell what happened out at the car with my tie last night? Okay. Mark and I are pretty good friends. And I went back out to the car after supper, and Mark was in his travel clothes. And we were going to have the gospel meeting, and I was putting my tie on at the car. He said, you're wearing a tie? And I said, yes, I am. He said, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go change. And so you see, Mark didn't change for me. He didn't do it for me. He understood what he was coming into the presence of. He knew what he was about to do. And so he went and he changed. And he looked nice too. And so I encourage us to not be afraid to provoke one another to love and to good works. It tells us to do it. We're letting each other down, dear ones. We're hurting one another. We're hurting the assemblies by not provoking one another. Especially if we love each other. And he's told us to love one another. It's clear. Well, I really thought this would probably take about a half an hour. Verse 35, them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work. And so verse 30, or chapter 36, he speaks of Bezalel and Aholiab. And every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. Well, you know, in our assemblies, there's many things that go on. We talked of administrative duties today a little bit. And there are certain things that maybe you don't know how to do, maybe certain things that others don't know how to do, but he gives each one the necessary thing so that we might function in a way that's suiting to him, to bring glory and honor to him. And so, verse 2, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. Willing-hearted, they came to do it. Nothing else, just to serve him. And so, I just wanted to point out just a footnote here in verse 3. You know, he speaks here of free offerings every morning. And it reminded me of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And it says that he gave that unspeakable gift. And I just noticed in the Mr. Darby translation, if I can refer to that, he said it was a free gift. He said it was a free gift. And so he offered us a free gift. Shouldn't we be willing to offer a free gift back? And so they brought free offerings here. And in that 2 Corinthians chapter 10, before that, it speaks that they were free-hearted, liberally. They wanted to give. And that should be us. And these dear ones, they gave for all that was necessary for the work. And they did it every morning. Verse 5, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work. And that is just the kicker for me, dear ones. Do we bring enough? What do we bring? Who decides? Who decides? It says the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. You know, it goes on a little further and they told them, you've brought way more. Stop. You can stop now. God commanded that. He hasn't told us to stop. And I don't really know if we even bring enough. I don't. But he sure wants me to. And he wants you to as well. He loves you. He did all those things that we read of in Isaiah chapter 63. He did all those things for you and I. Are we going to bring glory to him? Or is it going to be like it said, and they rebelled? Well, I still want us to be encouraged. This is something that I can encourage us with in Exodus chapter 39 as we just about finish up. Verse 32, it says, thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. Verse 42, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. They did it all. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it. And Moses blessed them. And so you see, the blessing comes after. We often want everything first, but they did the work. They accomplished it. He went to the cross. He accomplished the work for you and I. He said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. That soldier pierced his side, shed his blood and water that saved you. Are you willing to work and then receive that blessing? Because I enjoyed this at the very end of the chapter, and I would just like to share it in the way that I see it. In the last chapter, when I consider the blessing that we'll receive for doing all the work, in verse 33 at the end, it says, "So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." And so I just have a little portion underlined here. And it just struck me the other day, and if you don't see it the way I do, that's okay. But I woke my wife up because I was so excited. I said, "Did you ever see this before? This is awesome." And she said, "Yeah." I thought, "Oh." So what I really enjoyed was, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." And I was thinking of that cloud. And you know, in Acts chapter 1, I think it is maybe verse 9. And it's speaking of the Lord Jesus when he was taken up. It says, "And the cloud received him." The cloud received him. And I just thought, there was the glory of God. And the cloud received him. And you know, it says in John chapter 14, maybe verse 3, it says, "And I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And so that cloud was there with all its glory. And that cloud received Jesus up into glory. And someday we're going to be received up there too. And so that blessing will be ready and waiting for us. And we can work towards it now. But we have to be willing hearted. Our God and Father, we thank Thee once again for Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how He was the willing victim to go to that cross of Calvary, to do that work, to complete it for each one of us, to shed His precious blood so that we might be made Thine, so that we might have life and have it more abundant and free. We thank Thee for Thy most holy word and for the time we have had over it together. Lord, we pray that each one of us might be stirred up within, that our hearts might be made willing to live for Thee, to be like Jesus, and to do only those things which are pleasing in Thy sight, to bring glory and honor. And so we thank Thee for this time together. We pray for the remainder of the week that we all might have a willing heart to do the work that is needed here. And so we pray for this and thank Thee in Thy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.